yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
No! protest song is as old as music itself. There's really no way to trace the first use of music as a means of communicating an opinion on something, but you can bet it's measured in centuries. In the 17th century, band hymns were sung in defiance of oppressive governments. In the 18th century, pre-Revolutionary War Minutemen sang songs like Free America as they trained. In the 19th century, the songs that slaves sang were a subversive form of not just protest, but of communication. In the 20th century, the protest song became a hallmark of the folk movement and of rock and roll, and one need look no further than the world of hip-hop today to find plenty of music with a purpose. Protest music can be angry, it can be sad, it can be sympathetic and benevolent, but it's always passionate. When it's the right combination of words and melody, it can stir up human emotions unlike anything else. From the call for strength and perseverance of We Shall Overcome, and the quiet demand for unity of This Land Is Your Land, to the latter-day Me Too musings of Milk and MIA's Immigrant Advocacy, protest songs always speak out about the important issues of the day. This week, we marked the 50th anniversary of the shooting of four students at Kent State University by the Ohio National Guard, while at the same time, we're seeing protests all over the country by people who see stay-at-home and quarantine orders as government overreach. Tensions and passions from both memory and current events are running high. This seems like a perfect time to roll out a list of music sung by the aggrieved, the downtrodden, and the oppressed. Tonight, it's all about the protest songs. My name is Rich Larson. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everyone. You are listening to 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Weekly List. All right. First things first here, you're going to hear quite a few opinions this week on the show, and you know, some are mine and some are those of the artists that we're going to play. These opinions are not necessarily the opinions of KYMN Radio nor of its management. I'm a very politically minded person, and I try really hard to keep my own opinions off of this show. that doesn't always work. Sometimes I'll let things slip. There is no doubt that that's going to happen this week. I also need to say right off the bat that while I 100% support the right of the people who are currently partaking in all these shutdown protests, I support, you know, the rights of the people who are protesting, demanding that their states reopen. I support their right to protest. In no way, shape, or form do I think it's a good idea to carry an assault rifle into a state capitol building and start screaming at law enforcement. To me, that's just dumb. Okay? Don't do that. I personally much prefer the protests and marches that do not include firearms or, you know, Kevlar vests or Confederate flags. I like the marches and the protests where people listen to speeches and sing songs, which also, by the way, that's not a very good idea right now. And I wish the people with the guns would wear masks too, but you know, that's just me. All right. So the first song we heard tonight was Fight the Power by Public Enemy. It was really originally released on the soundtrack for Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. And that was the sanitized, radio-friendly version from their 1990 album, Fear of a Black Planet. Song was actually commissioned by Spike, who had asked for something strong and anthemic and rhythmic. And the song took on a little bit of a life of its own. Wasn't written about any one issue, but instead is a reaction to a decade when inner city black communities saw a rise in drug abuse and AIDS and a lack of opportunity under the policies of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Chuck D has said it's the most important song Public Enemy ever did, and it's really one of the most important hip-hop songs of all time. Absolutely. Next up is the most famous and most memorable reaction to Kent State. This is Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young's Ohio. So 2 weeks after the shootings, Neil Young and David Crosby were at a friend's house in Northern California. The band was set to convene in L.A. the next day to begin preparations for the resumption of their first tour together, which was not going very well, by the way. Young saw a copy of Life magazine on the coffee table with a long article about Kent State. It was filled with the pictures that we, at this point, have all come to know. But at the time, were still very fresh and incredibly powerful. Neil read the article, picked up an acoustic guitar, and just started writing, and the song was done in 15 minutes. 10 minutes later, Crosby had worked out all the harmonies, and Ohio was ready to go. So the story goes that Crosby picked up the phone, called Graham Nash, and said, "You're not going to believe the song that Neil just wrote. Book a studio." Ohio, I mean, it's a loud, brooding, pissed off dirge, and it's one of the greatest protest songs in the history of rock and roll. Having been written so soon after the event itself and recorded the day after it was written, the song carries that just power of fresh emotions. And, you know, for me, no matter how many times I hear this song, I can absolutely just feel David Crosby's outrage at the end as he's screaming, "Why?" Here's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young with Ohio on 95.1 KYMF. Sunday Bloody Sunday from their 1983 album War. That song takes inspirations from The Troubles, which is the term given with typical British understatement to the situation with the Provisional Irish Republican Army and the demand for the British to leave Northern Ireland. Specifically, Bloody Sunday was January 30th, 1972. When British soldiers opened fire on Irish civilians who were protesting a policy of internment without trial, and they killed 14 people. The song, however, is not pro-IRA or anti-IRA, or for that matter, pro-British or anti-British. It's a call for the end of the sectarian violence that had plagued Ireland and England for generations. Of course, when the song was released in 1983, it was quickly co-opted by the IRA, which in turn caused Bono, to introduce it every time they played it by saying, "This is not a Rebel song." The band actually had an up and down relationship with the song for a long time. There's no question it fueled their popularity around the world, but they would find themselves constantly having to address its true meaning, especially with the American Irish community, where the band really saw a romanticizing of the IRA that absolutely was not in line with reality. They actually even stopped playing the song for a couple of years, and then they reworked it as a more quiet and something. Actually, the Edge would play the song solo for a good part of the 90s. Since the Good Friday Agreement, which ended the Troubles, the band has played it nearly at every show. And for a couple of tours, at least, they've used it as an opener, which I think works really well since it's roundly considered one of the band's greatest songs. And when you've got a catalog like U2 has, why not open up with something like that? So now we go from an internationally beloved anti-violence anthem to a much quieter but no less poignant song from Northfield, Minnesota. Local fans know my friend Wendy Smith as an integral part of the Northfield music scene, both with her band, the Zillionaires, and as a solo performer. A couple of months ago, Wendy released the song and posted a video on social media. And, you know, when I saw it, like even then, a couple of months ago, I knew that we were going to do this show this week. So I talked to her about coming in to the studio and, you know, talking about the song and playing it live. Unfortunately, the coronavirus has made that impossible, but we can still play the song. So this is Wendy Smith of the Zillionaires with "I Sing a Song of America," a 95.1 KYMN, the one.
I sing a song of America, land of the free, home of the brave. What we used to be. Now we're standing for the flag, and the swag is red, white, and blue. And the principles of justice, truth, and liberty no longer ring true. Beautiful for spacious skies. Clouded with these lies. Mountains high above the plains. God knows what will remain. Our leaders' scowling faces, pompous words, rewriting the rules. Game of sport for some, dirty work is done, not all of us are fools. Let's talk serving country, signing up to risk it all. Dying in the street, and cowards have a seat, sheltered from a fall. Spacious skies, clouded with lies. Mountains high above the plains. God knows. I sing a song of America, land of the free, home of the brave, that's what we used to be. Mm-hmm.
come you masters of war. Here that build the big guns, here that build the death planes, here that build all the bombs, here that hide behind walls, here that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, you want me to believe, but I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, and then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world, for threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know but to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
That was Bob Dylan with what is probably his most direct and scathing protest song, Masters of War, which was on his 1963 classic album, The Freewheeling Bob Dylan. It was songs like Masters of War, along with Blowing in the Wind and Times They Are A-Changin', that earned Dylan the moniker of Voice of a Generation, which is a title he never wanted and always disliked. But when you write a song like Masters of War, and it connects with so very many people and continues to resonate nearly 60 years later, you're going to receive some of those, you know, accolades, whether you want them or not. You might even win a Nobel Prize. Dylan is known for never playing the same song twice, in that every time he plays one of his songs, it's always a little bit different. I've heard him play Masters of War very quietly on an acoustic guitar. I've heard him play it loud and angrily with a full band. A couple years ago, I was privileged to go see one of the great rock and roll journalists of our time, Mr. Greil Marcus, give a talk on Masters of War right at Carleton College. And he reminded me of the time Dylan played that song, the night he played that song on the Grammy Awards, just as the first Gulf War was beginning. And I remember watching that night, not even recognizing the song until he finally sang some relatively intelligible lyrics in the final verse. And I was really confused, and I was pretty disappointed by that performance just for years, until Mr. Marcus brought it up as a great example. That performance was a great example of the song's true meaning. Of course it didn't make sense, he told me. That's the point Dylan was trying to make. War doesn't make sense. All right. Okay, so some protest songs, like Masters of War, are obvious, and they're just up in your face. Others are more subtle and subversive. They worm their way into your head, and you start thinking about the lyrics, and before you know it, you're just questioning your beliefs completely. Merry-Go-Round by Casey Musgraves is one of those songs. It's like the Monkees' Pleasant Valley Sunday, or Melvina Reynolds' Little Boxes, which is the, the theme song to the Showtime show Weeds. Merry-Go-Round is a song about the tedious, self-destructive way we live our lives, and the way we raise our kids, and the way we do the same things over and over again, expecting life to get better. It's just a brilliant piece of social commentary from one of, I think, country music's really interesting songwriters. So from her 2013 debut album, Same Trailer, Different Park, this is Casey Musgraves with Merry-Go-Round. A 95.1 KYMN, the one.
If you ain't got two kids by 21, you're probably gonna die alone. At least that's what tradition told you. And it don't matter if you don't believe, come Sunday morning, you best be there. Trailer, different park. Mama's hooked on Mary Kay, brother's hooked on Mary Jane, and daddy's hooked on Mary two doors down. Mary, Mary, quack and Schwerry, we get bored so we get married. Just like dust we settle in this town, on this broken checks are always. Yeah. burned out on booze and pills. And Mary had a little lamb. And Mary just don't give a damn no more.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
That was the late great poet, writer, and spoken word performer Gil Scott-Heron with The Revolution Will Not Be Televised from 1971. A lot of people consider Gil Scott-Heron to be the world's first rapper. He was a poet, but as a poet, he worked extensively with musician Brian Jackson to develop music that would just perfectly accompany and enhance his poetry. And The Revolution Will Not Be Televised is probably the best example of that collaboration. Revolution Will Not Be Televised was a slogan that was used by the Black Panthers, and Scott-Heron took that idea and used it really to illustrate the point that if you want society to change, you can't just sit at home on your couch and watch television and think your thoughts until everything is better. You have to do something about it. The revolution will not be televised, you know? Okay. So now we need to make the awkward transition from Gil Scott-Heron to Imminent Brewing. Maybe it's not that awkward. I know the owners of Imminent Brewing, Laura and Derek Myers, well enough to know that they at least probably appreciate the show this week. Not that the Imminent or the opinions represented on the show this week are necessarily those of Imminent Brewing. It's just that, you know, just moving on. Imminent Brewing Northfield's once and future living room is still open during this crazy, stupid COVID spring. The tap room is shut down, but they are still open 6 days a week to sell growlers and howlers of their amazing craft beer. Now, what are growlers and howlers, you ask? A growler is a 64-ounce jug, it's about 4 pints. A howler is a 750-milliliter jar, which is about a pint and a half, both of which are then filled with the fine and delicious beverages created by the brewing team of Justin Holden, Jared Allerson, and Stefan Vanderwall in the Imminent Brewing Tap Room. You can swing by Imminent every day but Monday. Procure those growlers and howlers Tuesday through Friday. They're open from 4 to 7 p.m. Saturdays and 4 to 7 p.m. Sorry. On Tuesday through Friday, they're open from 4 to 7 p.m. And Saturdays and Sundays, they're open from 2 to 7 p.m. All right. Also, once again, Imminent is putting out the call for empties. If you currently have an empty Imminent Brewing growler, or if you maybe are using an Imminent howler as a vase or a change jar or something like that, please bring them back. There's a $4 deposit on the growler and a $3 deposit on the howlers, which they will gladly refund you, or they'll just, you know, swap you out a full one without charging you the deposit. Now, I know those of you who have visited Imminent recently and have seen the big stack of growler boxes in the corner might be a little confused, but, you know, since most craft breweries are now allowed to only sell off sale, the people who manufacture the growlers are now dealing with a higher demand than they've ever seen before, and there aren't a lot of those manufacturers, so orders are taking much longer to get where they need to be. Our friends over at Imminent are really already starting to feel the pinch again, so if you do have empties, please bring them back. Also, you should be aware that Imminent is doing a food drive along with a number of other local craft establishments in the area for the Northfield Community Action Center, which operates the Northfield Food Shelf. If you're coming by Imminent, please bring a non-perishable food item, or bring some, you know, cleaning supplies or some hygiene supplies, or, you know, feel free to drop a donation into the jar they have set up for such things. Imminent has always been supportive of this community, just as this community has always been supportive of Imminent Brewing. So this is just a small way of helping everyone help everyone, because we're all in this together, right? And once again, there are food trucks over at Imminent this weekend. Norse Cuisine is there on Friday. Amazing Turkish food and Euro Magic of Medbox Grill will be there again this Saturday. And the Northern Minnesota Fair of Deep Roots Concessions will be in on Sunday. Okay, again, I butchered this before, so let's try this again. Imminent is open from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and 2 to 7 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. If you have any questions, need any more information, please give them a call, 507-646-2327, or visit imminentbrewing.com. Okay, so now getting back to the music, let's talk about the only band that matters, The Clash. Last week, we did a show celebrating the music of 1977, but we couldn't get to all of it because that was just, it's such a vast topic that year. Among the many unfortunate omissions from that show was the fact that The Clash put out their debut album in 1977. Now, The Clash was always a hyper-political band, and that was evident from the release of their very first single, White Riot, which was a call to the British lower class to start demanding better opportunity, very much actually like The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Unfortunately, a lot of people mistook White Riot for a call for a race war or some sort of nonsense like that, but it was in fact just Joe Strummer saying, look, the black community got fed up with the way they were being treated and they did something about it. The lower class white community, instead of demanding a better way of life, has gotten complacent and nobody wants to do anything. So from 1977, here's The Clash with White Riot. A 95.1 KYMN. Day one.
brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me,
sister,
with brutality,
sister.
Talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister.
Oh, what's going on?
Marvin Gaye with the title track to his epic 1971 classic album, What's Going On. What's Going On was, it was a watershed moment for Motown. It was a career-changing moment for Marvin Gaye. He made a stunning transformation. This was a guy who had been presented by his label as this suave crooner of love songs, and then he went off and he grew a beard and he put on a stocking cap and he looked you right in the eye and he asked that central question, what's going on? What's happening in the world? Why aren't people getting along? Berry Gordy, the founder and head of Motown, was not interested in releasing What's Going On as a single when he first heard it at all. In fact, Gordy called it the worst song he'd ever heard. But the promotions department at Motown, you want to talk about being subversive, they pressed 100,000 singles and they gave it a limited release. The result was the fastest selling single in Motown's history. Now, when Berry Gordy saw those numbers, being a businessman, He also saw an opportunity, and he personally drove to Marvin Gaye's house to talk to him. See, after Berry Gordy had rejected the single, Marvin Gaye, man, he went on strike. He refused to record anything for his boss. So Gordy told Gaye that they were going to give the single a full release and asked him to record an album of songs in that same vein. What he did here, essentially, was he gave Marvin Gaye full control over what would be on that album, which up to that point would have been thought impossible by anyone else at Motown. Now, I knew for this show I wanted to play something from that album, but really the question became which song. What's Going On is an entire protest album from the title track to Mercy, Mercy Me, to Right On, to Inner City Blues. Every song on that album is a socially conscious statement about life in America in the early 1970s, and each one is brilliant. What's Going On is one of my favorite albums and is roundly considered to be one of the best of all time. It's the album that elevated Marvin Gaye from, you know, he was the good-looking guy with a good voice to Hall of Fame status. It's one of Motown's all-time best-selling albums, and actually led to a series of socially conscious, edgier Motown hits by The Temptations and The Jackson 5 and The Commodore. Even The Supremes got in on it. Politics had gone from being bad for business to something that sold records. And you know what? Berry Gordy's no dummy. So, you don't really think of the 1980s as a great time of protest and social unrest, but the decade, it had its moments, particularly with the work that Bob Geldof did with his Band-Aid Foundation, working to end famine in Ethiopia, which in turn led to the formation of USA for Africa and their recording of We Are the World. And then, you know, Geldof bringing everyone together for his crowning achievement, the Live Aid concerts in London and Philadelphia in July of 1985. Among the people that Geldof inspired by what he was doing was Steve Van Zandt, who at that point was the former guitarist in the E Street Band. He had left to follow a solo career, and he came back. It didn't feel like he was gone for even a year. He did come back, and now he's still a member in good standing of the E Street Band. He became interested in doing a sort of We Are the World kind of a song with the purpose of raising awareness about the racist apartheid regime in South Africa. He recruited Miles Davis, Lou Reed, Pat Benatar, Bob Dylan, Jackson Browne, George Clinton, Joey Ramone, Bono, Darlene Love, Jimmy Cliff, a couple of the original Temptations, David Ruffin and Eddie Kendricks. He even got his old bandmate Clarence Clemons to join, and he got his old boss Bruce Springsteen to take part as well. And unlike the folks over at USA for Africa, Van Zandt also recruited some rappers: Run DMC, Grandmaster Melamel, Fat Boys, Curtis Blow, and they all recorded the song "Sun City." Now the song Sun City refers to a Las Vegas style resort that was in South Africa that was for whites only. And some of the biggest acts in the world were playing there because Sun City was paying ridiculous amounts of money to bring them in. So that refrain, "I ain't gonna play Sun City," it was as much a pledge by the artists as it was a way to educate the world about what was going on. They weren't trying to raise money, but they did. They raised more than $1 million for anti-apartheid organizations. Really, they just wanted the world to know that they felt like South Africa was governed by evil policies, and the artists who were playing there were complicit in the oppression of black South Africans. Here is the Artists United Against Apartheid Collective with Sun City, a 95.1 KYS K1.
The sun to rise, for the
was Billie Holiday from 1939 with Strange Fruit. Strange Fruit was a poem written by Abe Maripol after he saw a photograph of a crowd gathered around the lynching of Thomas Shipp and Abram Smith in Marion, Indiana in 1930. This had been what they used to call a spectacle lynching, where crowds would gather and watch as the victim was tortured and murdered. Maripol was understandably disgusted by the photograph, and he wrote the poem, and then he set it to music. Eventually, the protest song was brought to Billie Holiday, who in 1939 was nearly at the peak of her popularity. Her record company, Columbia, would not let her record the song, so she demanded and received a special release to record one song for the Commodore label. The record itself sold more than a million copies, and it became Billie Holiday's signature song. It was a brave move for Billie Holiday to record that song in 1939, and I think it's an amazingly effective song. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this edition of the Weekly List. If you like the show and you want to hear more, you can visit our program page at the KYMN website at kymnradio.net. Or you can go find our Facebook page under the Weekly List, where I post every new show on Friday mornings. You should also, as long as you're on Facebook, you should also go like the KYMN Facebook page. I have been noticing a lot of people returning to Facebook during the quarantine. And if you're going to spend some time there, it's a great idea to pay attention to that KYMN page. Jeff Johnson and Terry Knight are working like crazy to keep us all updated on what's going on with the schools and the hospital, local government, local businesses. It's the best source for all your local news, and everything they do, all those interviews and all those stories, lands on that Facebook page. So give them a like. Also, as long as you're on Facebook, you should also go like the Imminent Facebook page as well, because, you know, eventually that tap room's going to reopen. And when it does, going to be all kinds of cool stuff going on. And if you follow that Facebook page, you'll know about it when it happens. All right. So we're going to leave you this week with what I consider to be the best and most effective protest song of them all. Now, between their work as a group and with other bands and their solo work, I easily could have done an entire show of nothing but protest songs by David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, and Neil Young. However, I decided to limit myself to just two. The first one was, of course, Ohio. And the second is this song, which is, it's less than 2 minutes long. And it really is only one verse, but it captures everything you need to hear. The song was actually the B-side of Ohio and was recorded during that same special Go Book a Studio recording session. Eventually, David Crosby, Stills, and Nash would re-record that song as the end of their song Daylight Again. But this is the original. Here is Find the Cost of Freedom by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
cost of freedom buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you, lay your body down. Find the cost of freedom. Baby.